Colossians chapter 2, and Mike and Gail have been passing out pens. I want everybody to have a pen. Everybody to have a pen today. So if you need a pen, put your hand up. Michael, does anybody need a pen?
Anybody need a paper?
You need a paper? Miss God A has a paper? I think everybody's set up. All righty. All righty. Praise the Lord. All right. God is good. Can I get a witness? All right. We got that. Hey, Sabina might need translation. Can you set her up with it? She got it? Very good. All right. Praise the Lord. Okay. We're going to read Colossians chapter 2. We're going to be studying from the beginning of chapter 2. I wanted to read from verses 16 to 23 to kind of give us a little where Paul's pointing to so that we'll know where we're going before we get there. Okay? Okay? Thank you very much. All right. Corinthians 2, verses 16 through 23, Bible says, therefore, everybody say therefore.
Therefore.
Therefore is because all that stuff we're going to talk about. All right, that's why I want to read this. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Can I get a witness on that part? Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you for the prize. Such a person goes into great detail about what he has seen, and his unspiritual mind puffs him up with idle notions. He has lost connection with the head, we took a look at last week, who is Jesus, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, and I hope you have, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These are all destined to perish with use because they are based on human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. Lord, I thank you that you are good, that you are mighty, that you are awesome, that you meet us in this place this morning, that you guide us into truth, that you come to bring fullness to us, Lord. Lord, I want to dwell in that fullness, and Lord, I want to lead this church, that we would all find that fullness in you, that you could be glorified in us, through the things that we do, the choices that we make, that we can live to glorify you. We give you praise in Jesus' name, and everyone said,
amen,
amen, amen, amen. Well, title of message, living on a lie. I have a question, and I tread lightly into this morning. But do any of you know where mayonnaise comes from? See, Dana's gone. Watch out. See, I heard, I know. Many of you are saying, yes. When I was 5 years old, I was told that by my six-year-old friend. I have no clue where he determined this great truth. And not to go into detail, but you can ask my children. Josh, you know where mayonnaise comes from, right? No? I've never told you? Because my children, you can ask JJ after church. And I'll just let you know, there is a small, dirty little Holy kind of guy that's involved. Now, I grabbed onto this great fruit when I was 5 years old. And I've hated mayonnaise ever since, and I'm 57 years old now. But it was a week and a half ago, and I was talking to Nathan. And Wendy, are you here? How old is Nathan? He's like 10, right? He's like 10. And I said to Nathan, do you want to know where mayonnaise comes from? And he looked at me with a question mark, and his older sister, Ashley, who's like 13 or 14, she says, oh, no, you don't. I told her. You don't want to know where it comes from. And you know what? Nathan's eyes immediately began to sparkle. And I said, do you want to know? And he said, yeah, I want to know. You can ask Nathan. He'll tell you. Living on a lie. See, there are, because I'm 57, I really know that mayonnaise doesn't come from little trolley little guys. But you buy a lie when you're a kid, and it can affect your whole life. Amen? We're talking about the fullness of life. And we are talking about this letter that Paul is writing to the church in Colossae. And they have a lie that is being told and spread amongst them. It is keeping them from their fullness in Christ. The purpose of this church is that you might find fullness in Christ. If you look at the bulletin on the top, it says finding fullness in Christ. You've got a sign out front, finding fullness in Christ. And the lie of the enemy, will keep you from fullness in your life. Now, they call this the heresy of the Colossians. And I want to use that word. It's a technical word. And so I want to give you the definition of it. And I don't want to assume that you know what it is, because it's not a word that we really use that much today. So from some online source, but it says heresy is any belief or theory that is strongly at variance with established beliefs. And so the Colossian heresy, this is the book of the Colossians, it's a letter that is written to the church in Colossae, the Colossians, the heresy, the lies that are going around this Colossian church are at variance with the truth of the gospel that was shared with them. And if you buy the lie, it will keep you from reaching the best in your life. So we're going to take a look at the first half of chapter 2 of the book of Colossians. And the title of the message today is Living on a Lie. Amen? Because sometimes, like a 52-year-old lie, you just got to cut it right out of your life. Just stick it on the cross. Amen? And we're going to get there today. All right, finding our fullness in Christ, purpose of this church, when we talk about it, verses 1 and 2 of Colossians chapter 2. Bible says, I want you to know how hard I am contending for you. Paul is working. Paul is in jail. Paul is chained to a Roman guard, but he is battling for these Christians in Colossae. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those at Laodicea. And for all those who have not met me personally, there's a lot of people think he's never even met the people in this Colossian church. My goal is that they might be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they might have the fullness of the riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. And Paul is guiding these Christians into a greater fullness and a greater understanding of the opportunities and their life that can be found in the person of Christ. Amen? Aaron Books, can I get a witness on that? Thank you very much. All right, contending. The word here is agon, Greek word agon. And it's from where we get the word agony. And he's talking about a strenuous physical struggle. And we see that these Colossians, that these Christians are pushing back the realm of darkness. We talked about that last week. That perhaps you are familiar with the battle that they might face. And Paul is praying that they would be encouraged and strengthened in this battle, because your victory is not insured. You say, wait a minute. I know Jesus. I am more than, you are more than a conqueror, but you're gonna fight to win. Amen? You don't fight, you ain't gonna win. All right, book of Revelation. Jesus is talking about the church in Laodicea. He talks about, I'm writing to you and I'm writing to the church in Laodicea. And this is what Jesus says to the church in Laodicea. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen. Can I get an amen on the amen? Thank you very much. The faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. You want to be lined up on him? You want to find victory? That's where you're going to find it, right there. He says, I know your deeds. Guess what? The Lord knows your deeds. He's paying attention to those. How many hairs me and Aaron get? It's an easy count right now. We're not to count that high. He says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold or hot. This is the church. Paul's writing in like the 60s. Revelation is written in like the 90s, 30 years later. Paul says, I am praying for you. I am contending. I am in a strenuous battle for this church at Colossae and this town right next to it, the church in Laodicea. Because there's lies that are coming against you. And then 30 years later, the Lord speaks to the church in Laodicea and says, I know you. Your works, your deeds, your lives are neither hot nor cold. He said, I wish you were one or the other. He says, I wish you were either one or the other. So because you're lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I'm about to vomit you out of my mouth. Well, I'll tell you what, I never want the Lord speaking to me, says, I know you vomit, and you disgust me because of your lukewarm life, and I'm going to vomit you out of my life. That is not a statement of victory. He's not going, yeah, Laodicea, let's go for that lukewarmness. Can I get a witness on it? That's why Paul is chained to a Roman. And he says, you guys are in trouble. These lies that are rolling through your church and through Laodicea, man, I am battling in the spirit for you that you would take your stand against the lies of the enemy. He'll lie to you today. He's called the accuser of your soul. He lies on you before God. He said, look what a loser David is. Look what a loser Mike is. Look at all this stuff he did. Don't buy that lie. It'll lead to less than the best. Now, Laodiceans, they ain't making it. But he is excited about what's going on in Colossae. He says, man, I am praying that you would be encouraged and that you would be strengthened in your opportunity. Now, our encouragement comes in a new hope that comes in the gospel. Amen. That there is a Redeemer that comes from heaven and he is coming to get us and we don't have to stay down here. Amen. Amen? Man, I'm gonna buy you lunch, man. He says the strength, and this word, encourage and strengthen, these are military terms. And it talks about uniting arm in arm as we fight against the enemy of our souls, and that we link together. And that as you grab onto that person next to you and the enemy comes, you're able to support that person and they're able to support you. Amen? It's a lot easier to win when you're not fighting alone. Can I get a witness on that part? All right. With this unity and strength, and this unity and love, and the love that we get and the love that we express from the Lord is a sacrificial love. It's not like, wow, that person is good looking. No, it's like that person is incredibly the love that is in me from God. As we do that together, we move into a greater understanding of the mysteries and plan of God and the fullness of the life of God, because he looks down and he says, good job, Aaron. Get a witness on that. And he begins to fill us, and we are transformed in our lives. You guys have experienced that, right? If you haven't experienced it, you're living a lie, and you're the enemy comes and says, oh, you don't need to do that. All you got to worry about is you. All you got to worry about is your family. All you got to do is do that stuff. As you begin to be united with those around you and live in love, you get that understanding of God. And the word he talks about with understanding is the depth and the fullness of the plan of God. Because I tell you what, the more you know God and the more you lean out and the more you rest in him, you see how big he is. Amen? I mean, when I first got saved, man, I thought God was the best. But I had no clue how good he really was. You know, he's this big. He's so massive I can't even comprehend how big he is. See, the lie is that God is small. We've got to get some help. We've got some other action going on. You buy that lie, you live with less than the best. Much here. Buy you two lunches. All righty. Now, this, like the first two chapters of Colossians are like one sentence. I try and chop them up because Paul can go long and they kind of chop it up. It's like one big long string of thought. So I kind of rewind here a little bit on verse 2 as we read verses 3 through 5. In order that they might know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one can deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I'm absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. And Paul is saying, okay, you've got a good start. Don't get tripped up along the way. Don't get tripped up by the lie. He is using here these words of treasures and wisdom and knowledge. He is most likely tying in to the same phraseology, the same terms that they use in the lie. And they're talking about treasure. They're talking about wisdom. They're talking about knowledge. And what he does, he takes their terminology and redirects it to the truth. You want to know real treasure? You want to get real wisdom? You want to know real knowledge? It all comes in the person of Christ. Amen? See, he says that don't buy that deception. It's like a smooth talking salesman, talking fast. Limited time offer. Get your wisdom here. Get your treasure here. There is an easy way. There is a simple way. All you got to come to me right now, pay me off, follow me, and I'll get your treasure. Don't buy that lie. Anybody here bought that lie before? Oh, it sounds good, doesn't it? Yeah, it does. Gospel tells us. You're going to find your fullness in Christ. It's a steep climb. God sends the Holy Spirit that he might aid us in that, and we're going to find our treasure. Amen? Don't let that smooth talker trip you up. Jesus came as fully God and fully man that we might comprehend the mysteries and plan of God. And Paul says, look, Jesus came. He is your answer right there. Don't let anybody trip you up and give you some complicated spell or complicated a path to get to he who came to you. Just grab on. Now, he talks about their discipline and their stability. And these, again, are more military terms, and it talks about being lined up and talking about their battle against the dominion of darkness. Their discipline and their firm faith are needed so that they can push that back and fight this battle. Bible says that we are more than conquerors. Amen? More than a conqueror here. If you're more than a conqueror, that means because you're a fighter. And you got to fight if you're going to win. So many people, I mean, hey, we're warriors for Christ. That means that you fight. So many people go, oh, no, I want the peace part. Really what it means is that I want the Lord to do all my battles for me where I can just kick back and watch. Thank you, Lord. There's one. Oh, get that one for me, would you, Lord? Got a lot of fighting going on around here. Battles going on. And you wonder, it's like, well, Lord, why don't you just take all my opposition away? Well, it's in your opposition where you can find strength. JJ is playing on a YMCA basketball team. YMCA basketball team in the Soul, S-O-L. Coach says, like last week, he says, I don't want you guys to get upset. I don't want you to be disappointed. That team we just played for, that's the basketball team from Cathedral High School. Cathedral High School in the San Diego sectional championship went to the quarterfinals in Division One. They smashed JJ's team. Why? Why would they go into that game? So they can understand how good their opposition is. They can understand how much better they need to get so that they can find victory. And so as you move through struggles and you think, God, why aren't you just fixing this for me? God is saying, because I want you to be stronger. I want you to get better. Bible says in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, as iron sharpens not pleasant. You ever sharpen a knife? It's like you're just smoothing off all the rough edges. We got some rough edges in our battles, one against another. Help us get rid of those edges so that what? So we can grab arms and we can press ahead and defeat the enemy. Amen? That makes sense? Yeah, so next time you're in a battle, thank you, Jesus. Make me stronger. Now get me out. All right. Don't lose what you have found, because they have found the Lord Jesus Christ. So then, just as you receive Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened. Strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. And Paul says that Jesus is the starting point. You receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Many of you have done that. How you do that is you surrender your life to him. Say, Lord, I'm so messed up. That's what I did. I'm so messed up, Lord. I was walking down the street in Sacramento. Said, Lord, have my life. I have destroyed it. And I felt just like that. And I was a new kid. I walked that out for a year just trying to get my head on straight because I was so. You receive Christ as Lord. Lord is not a word that you use a lot these days outside the church. You receive the Lord as your leader. You receive the Lord as your boss. And you say, Lord, whatever you tell me, Lord, that's what I'm going to do. And you bend a knee and you humble yourself to him. And you are a new creation in Christ. He talks to Nicodemus, John chapter 3, verse 3. Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. And when you surrender your life to the Lord, you are born again. And Paul says, that's not the end point, that's the starting point. Can I get a witness? Can I get another witness? Yeah. That was practice. So next time, you guys will be ready. He says you get your start, and he talks about, let me go back here, being rooted and built up. And a lot of stuff going on in Greek I want to talk to you about. But being rooted in him is this salvation experience. It's like this one-time shot. Bam! You are rooted in the kingdom of God. And as you are rooted, you're born again, and everything begins to change. And he describes this change with three different ways. He talks about being built up, being strengthened, and overflowing with thankfulness. Now, talk about being built up in Christ. It's like building a house. Jesus said, if you hear these words, if you hear these words of mine, and put them into practice. Because you can hear them and not do anything with them, and nothing will change. You can hear them and not put them into practice, and nothing will change.
Amen.
Very good. We're going to get there. All right. He says, but if you put them into practice, it's like building your house on rock, on a firm foundation. So, you're rooted, bam, one-time shot, and you begin to build entire lifeline process. You are strengthened, right? We have opportunity for you to be strengthened in your faith. Daily power pack, prayer and devotion. You take some time and you a daily reading log, right? Take you 20 minutes. In a year, you will have read through the New Testament twice, the Old Testament once. You got questions? I'll answer something right there. Prayer, every day, about 20 minutes. Log on to Facebook. You can be part of it. You can come. You can look at it later. You can watch it on rewind. You can do all kinds of stuff. But there's a double bang right there. Every day, in the Word, in prayer, you can be strengthened. Can I get a witness? Do one of them. Do both of them. Flip-flop. Because he's talking to the Colossians, you're rooted, you're building, and you are being strengthened every day. Amen? Third thing he talks about is this overflowing of thankfulness. Right? And as you see the building happening, as you see strength coming and the stuff that used to knock you off your feet, you're standing there strengthened in the Lord. It's like, woohoo! Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And there is this overflow of thanksgiving. You go, man, Lord, I'm not the way I used to be. It is a lifetime transformation that happens. We are born again. They said, don't let anybody get away. Don't let a lie come be. All that the Lord has for you, so that you have less than the best. Amen? All right. Getting back on track can be tough. And out. So stay on track. See to it that no one takes you captive. Say captive, will you?
Captive.
That's just more practice for the amen when I need one. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. He talks about being held captive here, and that is like a prisoner of war. It is like that person, that deceiver would come against you and say, ho-ho, I got one. You're like a prize. They got you. Don't let them snatch you up. You can be captured in this deception. You can buy the lie, and you can be lost. Why? Because liars make it sound good. Liars make it sound intriguing. This is so easy. And they come to you with that lie, and they prick your interest, and all of a sudden you start paying attention. Has it happened to you? Nobody ever comes to you with a lie and says, this is the lamest thing you ever had. You don't want to know this. I tell you, man, you buy stuff that will clean everything on the planet for $1. And they'll send you another one. Just pay for the shipping. I think they're lying. The key to the Colossian heresy is this hollow and deceptive philosophy. Now, we talked about the traditions of men. We read about them in verses 16 to 23 at the beginning. And what they do is they take this Old Testament stuff and they wrap it all up and they take some spiritism and they put some angels in it, and they put some demons in it, maybe some witches in it, some warlocks in it, leprechauns. I don't know what they're doing. They take all this stuff and they wrap up all this stuff and they put a brand new name on it and they say, this is what you need so that you can find fullness in your life. And Paul's saying from 1,000 miles away, don't buy it. They're lying. They're puffed up. Their spiritual arguments take you off track in your life. See, that liar is going to come and try to put himself between you and God. And it's going to start off so easy. And then it's going to get more and more complicated so that you can't make any progress without the liar. You buy that lie and you live with less than the best. All right. I started off about mayonnaise. I want to tell you about a lie that really impacted my life. I was 15 years old playing baseball, and I'm pitching. And I had gone to a movie that afternoon, some stupid movie, that a 15-year-old would go see. And I had a game, like at 6 o'clock that night. And I couldn't pitch. I couldn't throw a strike. And my catcher, his name was Craig Campbell, and he was a year older than me, so I think I was 14. And he was great. He got a full ride scholarship to Stanford playing baseball. He was great. And I go up to him after this game, 14 years old. And I say, man, I'm sorry. I couldn't throw a strike today. He said, what'd you say? I said, man, I'm sorry. He goes, did you try your hardest? Yes. He said, don't you ever apologize. It is a sign of weakness. Well, I took that advice and I buried that way down in my soul. Now, I didn't get saved until I was 29. When I was like 32, 33, I went to Bible college. I was only saved 15 months. And I was ordained, I was like 31, 32. And I'm down in Tecate, we're building churches and schools and all kinds of stuff. This is 16, 17 years later, 18 years later. And the director of the orphanage says, you know, Bob, you realize that you never apologize? I mean, of course not. I mean, I didn't even say, well, that's what Craig Campbell told me. No, man, that is so deep in my soul that it didn't even ever cross my mind. I'm saved. And so I begin to talk to my wife because I literally don't know. And I'm asking her, so how does this work? I mean, it sounds so foolish now, but literally, I'm like, how do you do this? What does it feel? And I would book. Kind of like when I say, yeah, I had you say, whatever that word was, you get ready for the amen. I would look for opportunities to apologize just so I could practice because I had no clue. And I had to say, Lisa, how does it feel when you do that? What are you supposed to be accomplishing? And I'm telling you, it took me 6 months. It took me 6 months of work to learn how to apologize. Now, I think I'm pretty good at it. I can apologize easy. It's not like, you know, you got that stuff? I'm not going to do it. Because why? Because I got away from that lie. And sometimes we get this stuff way down in our souls. I want to talk about spiritual circumstances just in a minute. And God will cut that out. And we just got to hang it right on the cross. So it took me 6 months. You might hang something on this cross today, and it's not going to be fixed. It's a starting point. You got to work on it. You maybe get some help, get somebody around. How does this work? Does that make sense? That's why I told you about the mayonnaise for this. And the sparkling Nathan's eye. All right, here we go. Here we go. All right. Verse 3, moving into the best, and I'll let you know that Jesus is the best.
Amen.
Very good. Everybody gets free lunch today. Hallelujah. All right. Colossians 2, 9 through 11. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lived in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him you are also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ. Got a lot of stuff there. Start off easy. There's nothing fuller than full. Amen? In the fullness, Jesus comes in the fullness of God. He came as a mortal and is now glorified. And he is the best that there is. I'm going to read this to you. I don't have it for you. But I want you to catch this description of our Lord Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 through 16. John writing this, the Apostle John writing this, he says, I turned around to see the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet with a golden sash around his chest. Close your eyes. His hair, the hair on his head was white like wool, white as snow. And his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of a rushing water. In his right hand he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp double-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in all of its brilliance. He came to us. He comes to you. The Bible says that you are gathered here, right? I got better for you than that. There is nothing better than the best. And the only way that you are going to find the best for you is move into him. And to find the fullness in your life is to find your fullness in Christ. Lie comes in, leaves us with less than the best. Jesus comes, does a spiritual surgery on us, cuts away the lies, transforms us. And we talk about this spiritual surgery. We talk about this work that Jesus comes in when we're born again, and he talks about cutting away the fleshly part of you that is at war. Okay? And the physical circumcision, an incredibly fleshly portion of the male anatomy. And Paul uses this terminology, and uses this imagery, so that you can understand about the surgery that Jesus would come and do in your life. Because you can be transformed, because you can move down in your spiritual self, because your fleshly self is gone. It is an incredibly personal image that Jesus would. By a lot. Last thing I got for you, looking at verses 12 through 14. It says, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God. You see all these clauses in here. It is challenging to grab onto all the fullness that is here. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh. See, he circumcises you. So he talks about you before that spiritual circumcision is accomplished. God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, and he has taken it away and nailed it to the cross. God makes us new in Christ. God makes you new in Christ. God takes the accusations that the devil pours out on you and before you and throws at God about you, and he takes them away so that you are declared holy in his sight. This is displayed in a baptism tank back here in water baptism, that you go down into the water. This signifies your death to that old way of life. And he pulls you up to that new life in Christ, so you can begin to move into that fullness. You got to fight. You got to climb. You got to work. But, so there is that description, and he says that this outward baptism, this water baptism, is the display of that internal circumcision that Christ performs in you. There's some stuff here, folks. You might read through Colossians 1 and 2 a little bit. We read in these verses the change that takes place as you are born again, as you receive Christ as your Savior, as you are rooted in the kingdom of God, as you begin to build and begin to be strengthened, to begin to overflow in thankfulness, that his sacrifice on the cross is applied to you. That his sacrifice washes away your sins. And that as his sacrifice is applied to you and you are declared not guilty, we've been studying the atonement on Wednesday nights for the last several weeks. And we call this process whereby you are declared holy as justification. Just as if I never sinned. That's the end result of this process. Now, how does that work? The charges of sin are dropped. And the weight of those sins is lost because the accusations are nailed to the cross. As Christ hangs on the cross, our sins hang there with him. Our sins are forgiven, and they have no hold on us anymore. But that's not what the liar will tell you. The liar will tell you, you can't get. You're not. Devil comes to you and says, you're so messed up. Don't let that lie hold you back from the best. Don't let that lie have you settle for less. the best, less than the fullness that you can receive in Christ. Aubrey, you want to come up and play for a second for us? Don't live on the lie. You know, I went through a lot of years in my life today. From the mayonnaise story to the apology story. And you know, I will come against stuff in my life. This morning, I'm laying in bed and I'm thinking, because I preached this last night, it was different. Which says it needs to be different today. And I'm going through my life, right? And I'm looking at fails. And I come across a fail, it's like, ah. And I come against another one, ah. It's like being poked. And maybe you understand that, because the enemy of your soul bring that lie. He said, look, loser. Bible says, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Verse 8 says, so if you say without sin, you're lying. But you confess your sin. He is faithful and just and will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And I'm telling you, I have those loser moments stabbing me this morning. And just take them and just, oh, Lord. Lord, I'm such a loser. Forgive me, Lord. And he talks about taking those things, hanging them on the cross. Oh, Lord. And it happened over and over and over again this morning. And I said, oh, Lord, forgive me, a sinner. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. And there's that forgiveness that comes, and there's that thanksgiving that comes. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Dad. Thank you, Dad. And it's like you just come running up to him. The enemy come again. Bam, bam, bam. Oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. He says, confess that to me. So I'll hang it on the cross. Enemy's going to bring those accusations. Don't let them bring them anymore. Don't buy the lie. Now, I made an effort that everybody have a pen. And if you take a look at your notes, in the back, right there, or on the back page, there's a bunch of these sticky notes. George, start passing out sticky notes. Anybody puts their hand up. I want you, because see, the enemy of your soul is saying right now, don't listen. Don't you pay attention to that. There's no opportunity. If you want, I want everybody to have one of those sticky notes. If you don't have one of those sticky notes, I'm going to put your hand up. And George is going to give you one. Give me one of them things. George, just the sticky notes. Just the sticky notes. Go find them. Go find them. Go find the sticky notes. All right, we're going to do that. I'm going to talk for a minute. All right. But you got a sticky note? You got a pen? They're on the back of those sheets that you got. I want you to write on there. I want you to write on there that the devil brings against you, because he's been attacking you all week. And maybe you got some stuff buried down in your soul, like that apology thing. He's got that. Put your hand up. You need a sticky back. He's got one right here. You don't need it. Everybody's got one. You got some old moves. Because see, the thing is, we come from some dangerous background. Anybody have a dangerous background? Where it's dangerous to live in your life? And see, we come up with some strategies and some mechanisms in our life where we can protect ourselves, like not apologizing to anybody because it shows you're weak. And see, now maybe even this week, you've got into some friction with some people. And those old moves come up. And the Lord's going, that right there is holding you back from fullness in me. I want that on the cross today. I paid for that. I paid for that. I want you to start living different. I want you to move into greater fullness with me. And for that to occur, you're going to have to take that move, that carnal move, that worldly move, that sinful move, that self-protective move, and you have to put it on the cross. Because I paid for it. And the devil's using it against you to keep you from me. And I don't want it there anymore. Are you feeling me on this? Now, maybe you're like Paul, and you are praying for somebody. Like the Colossians, he's 1,000 miles from the Colossians, 1,000 miles from the Laodicean church. There's somebody who's on your heart. You know, I hadn't thought about having 2 stickers, but God's going to work it out. Maybe you got somebody. I got people I pray for. I want you to write them on there. I'm gonna take everything that goes up there. Mine fell off. Don't mess with it. It might fall off. You got people you're praying for. I want you to put them up here. We want to pray with you. I want you to put them on the top. People you're praying for, go above the cross member. And we're going to pull those off. We're going to put them on a list. We're going to pray for them at our prayer times Monday through Friday. Okay? Maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, I have never given my life to the Lord. I am lost in my life and I need to know Him. And what I want you to do today is I want you to get on the cross. I want you to write your name. And you say, Lord, I want to hang on the cross with you. I want to be transformed in my life and in my sin. I want to be made new. I want to be born again. I want you to do a spiritual circumcision on me. I want you to cut this garbage out of my life because I can't get free. I give you my life. I'm making my boss. I'm going to bend my knee to you. And whatever you say, I'm going to do. I want you, if that's you today, I want you to put your name on this list. And I want you to put it up here on the top. And we're going to pray for you. And you can be set free in your life. And you can be transformed. And you can move into victory and into fullness. And find wholeness in your life. If you do that today, after you put your name up there, I want you to come and tell me that you put your name on there, just because I want to be able to pray for you the way Paul prayed for you. Pray for the Colossians. Does that make sense? You know what that is? That's Delilah. She's going, I want to put my name up on that cross. No, I don't know. But we're going to do that. Aubrey's going to sing. Move that next song up there, would you, Danny? You got something you want to put up there. You go to either one of these crosses. Somebody you're praying for, up here. Your name, up here. Something you want to get burned up, put on the cross, and have be, as far as the east is from the west, you put on the cross member or put it down. We're all going to stand. We're all going to sing. You might want to pray. It's okay. We got a minute. Amen? Levantate, por favor. Let's sing. Hallelujah.
Coming here, I find my rest without you. I fall apart. You're the one who guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh.